Well, you're listening to Quad Rocks, God, the World, and Other Things. I'm Kenny Price, your host. Our mission, you got it, advancing equilibrium in the midst of an agitated world. This is Season 19, Episode 406, title, Temptation and Vigilance. Subtitle, A Mini-Series on Temptation. Dear friend, I'm recording this at 12:02 a.m. Monday morning, April 15th, 2024, and my prayer goes out to the nation of Israel and for our world, because it appears that the governments of the world are bent on destruction and war and killing and maiming and murdering and all of these horrendous things that are done in insanity. And so my heart breaks, my friend, as I found out late yesterday that the nation of Israel had actually been attacked by the nation of Iran. I sent out an email to, or actually I sent out a text to many of my friends because I thought, well, perhaps they are like me, and I was not even aware. I had been disconnected from my telephone and social media all day and had not heard the news until I received a link in my phone when I opened it back up. And so I sent out the word to Christian friends, people that I care about, that, hey, this is going on. And I tell you, it's heartbreaking and it's disturbing. But a few of the people sent back the response that it's a scary time. And dear friend, it is a scary time because of the fact that we have a sense that this may be the very end of days. This may be the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecies regarding the end of days with the attacks on the nation of Israel. But let me remind you that God hears our cries. He hears the prayers of his saints, and he is willing to relent from things as they seem. I remind you of the story of Nineveh, when Jonah was reluctant to go to Nineveh to preach to them that they were under the watchful eye of God and their sin had become repugnant to him. Yet when they repented, God relented from bringing them disaster. And so, friend, this is not the end yet. When it is occurring, we absolutely will know that it is the irrevocable end. But even at this moment, and you have to pardon my speech, it's been late. I'm late getting to the table to finish this podcast. I've been working on it for some time. But my friend, the bottom line is, it isn't over until it's over. And so I invite you to join with me in crying out to God, God, give us a relent. And my friend, I remind you that all of this is occurring because of the silence of the church in the world, especially in the United States of America. The Church of Jesus Christ is silent. Eric Metaxas, a strong voice speaking to the church and its absence at the table of the culture, has clearly said that the world of the church is in free fall, and that it is at the door of the church, the footsteps of the church, that we find all of this mayhem that has been unleashed by the evil one in this world. And so, my friend, for anything to change, it has to first of all change with the church. And so my prayer is that God would wake up the church, that the church would become repentant and resolve to live out the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, I'm telling you that we're not without hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And the ability to see all of this change is as close as repentance of the church and the restoration of the truth in the church. And I tell you something that motivates me, and this is in the context of everything I'm talking about, the manifestation that the church may be in apostasy is the fact that the silence towards the gender tampering with young boys. Parents who are willingly taking their minor children who have really no say in the matter and destroying their ability to develop as boys and taking away their hormone development and basically, for all practical purposes, turning them into eunuchs for the rest of their life. My friend, as I've said many, many times to people that I'm talking to, that this is beyond the pale of Joseph Mengele, that wicked doctor of Nazi Germany. And so if we want to know why is all of this happening, it's happening because the church is silent. It is eerie. It is frightening. That is the thing that frightens me the most, is the silence, the absence of the church in the midst of all of this. And dear friend, none of us should be happy that the children of the world are being murdered at the doorsteps of war. Do you understand? And I tell you, I'm speaking hard today. Because when we look at what is happening even in the nation of Ukraine, they say that the body count is in the hundreds of thousands of people. And keep in mind, it's just not people wearing T-shirts or hoodies or uniforms. It's children and it's people who have nothing to do with the conflict. And so now the nation of Israel is under assault from the west, from the north, and from the east. And so there is a lot happening, dear friend. And we've got to be in prayer, but prayerfully with vigilance and with optimism that if we will just listen to God and repent, listen to his calling, that things can change even at this late moment. It's never too late with God. And you may say, well, why are you talking about temptation today? Dear friend, on one of my shows, the show Other Things With ... I had on a special guest, Mark Heimerman. Something Mark said in that conversation sticks in my mind. He said, this is a time that we need to be trimming our wicks. And it goes back to a parable that Jesus talked about. But in other words, being prepared, preparing ourselves to meet the bridegroom, to receive the bridegroom who's coming, talking about Jesus. And so it is a great thing that even in the midst of this terrible time, that we focus on ourselves and getting right with Jesus Christ and staying right with Jesus Christ, because we do not know at what point we will be translated out of here. And I remind you, we can get into the argument regarding the pre-tribulational rapture of the church, the post-tribulational rapture of the church. My friend, the bottom line is we live with arrogance to think that Jesus won't come for you or for me individually tonight at this moment. And so we need to sober up. We need to get serious about life and our responsibility as Christians to live a life above reproach, but because first of all, for the honor and worship of Jesus Christ, not just for our testimony to the world, but because of Jesus and our love for him. So in these words of our Savior, repeated by three of the Gospels with just minor variations, we find a fundamental directive for all followers of Christ. He says, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. That is a quote from Matthew 26:41, but it's found in two of the other Gospels. Picture the scene, our Savior in anguish, praying intensely as his betrayers draw near. Yet his closest disciples, overcome by lethargy, fall into sleep. Even Peter, who had boasted unwavering loyalty moments earlier, surrenders to drowsiness. Our Savior's gentle rebuke to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's found in Matthew 26:40. It underscores the frailty of human resolve. Indeed, even the firmest commitments can swiftly dissolve into neglect, a truth echoed in all of our daily lives. Our Savior's caution serves not only to awaken his drowsy disciples, but also as a timeless lesson for all of us who follow him. Within these words lie three key elements. Number one, the danger of temptation. Number two, the vulnerability of succumbing to it. And number three, the antidote, which is vigilance and prayer. While it may appear basic, it's beneficial to approach the experience of temptation with fresh eyes, as if you are encountering it for the first time. By examining familiar details, you can identify where you might be going astray and falling into sin. We'll look at the nature of temptation itself and then probe its dangers and defenses. It encompasses testing, probing, and potentially ensnaring. Even God is said to tempt at times, but not with the aim of inducing sin, but to reveal the truth of our character. Consider Abraham tested by the command to sacrifice a son, or Hezekiah confronted with his own pride. In such trials, God reveals both the depths of your character and the sufficiency of his grace. In this aspect of temptation, it serves as a mirror, reflecting your innermost self, and as a crucible, refining your faith. The aspects of temptation that we're concerned about in this podcast episode is temptation that, when viewed actively, is intended to lead you astray, while passively, it may inflict suffering. The vivid biblical depictions of the impact of being led astray by temptation, of course, are many. Perhaps you may easily recall many of these images in your own mind. Solomon's imagery of those lying down on the top of a mast in the midst of the sea vividly captures the peril of being lulled into complacency amidst the imminent danger that temptation presents. Yet temptation, often seen as subtle force, can inflict suffering in various passive yet profoundly impactful ways that are not so obvious. It can have the impact of psychological torment. The mere presence of temptation, especially when it lingers persistently, can lead to psychological distress. The internal conflict between desires and moral principles can cause anxiety, guilt, and shame. This mental anguish can gradually wear down your resilience and erode your sense of worth in Christ Jesus. Number two, emotional turmoil. Temptation can stir up a whirlwind of conflicting emotions, such as desire, fear, and remorse. The tension between wanting to indulge in forbidden pleasures and knowing the potential consequences can create emotional turmoil. This inner turmoil can lead to mood swings, inner turmoil, and a sense of being trapped in a perpetual state of unease. Another manifestation of the passive impact and injury caused by temptation is the interpersonal strain. Temptation often involves choices that impact your relationships with others. For example, succumbing to temptation may involve betraying a loved one's trust or causing harm to others. The guilt and shame resulting from these actions can strain your relationships and lead to feelings of isolation and alienation. Spiritual distress. Temptation can cause spiritual suffering by undermining your faith and sense of connection to your beliefs and values and your connection to God. It can lead to feelings of spiritual emptiness, disconnection from God and His higher principles, and a sense of moral decay. This spiritual distress can leave you feeling spiritually adrift and searching for meaning and purpose. It can have physical consequences. While temptation may seem like a purely mental or emotional struggle, it can also have physical repercussions. For example, giving in to temptations like overeating, alcohol and drug use, or risky behaviors can lead to health problems, addiction, or accidents. These physical consequences can exacerbate the suffering caused by temptation and further complicate the reconciliatory and healing recovery process. It can have long-term consequences. Even if temptation does not result in your immediate harm, its lingering presence can sow the seeds for future suffering. Giving in to temptation repeatedly can lead you into a cycle of destructive behavior, reinforcing sinful patterns and undermining your personal growth and spiritual development. Over time, this can lead to deep-seated regrets and a sense of wasted potential. So while temptation may appear passive on the surface, its effects can be far-reaching and insidious, inflicting suffering on multiple levels: psychological, emotional, interpersonal, spiritual, and physical. Recognizing the hidden toll of temptation is crucial for you to develop strategies to resist its allure and mitigate its impact on your overall well-being. As you give attention to something so familiar to the human experience, yet laden with such destructive power, you can understand why Jesus, in the model prayer, prays, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Temptation can originate from various sources and encompass many methods, from Satan's direct assaults to the allurements of the world and the weaknesses within your own heart. Yet, regardless of its origin, whether through external pressures or internal struggles, temptation's goal and result remain consistent: a diversion from the path of righteousness to draw you away from obedience to God. Satan sometimes tempts you directly without external aid. He injects evil thoughts into your mind as a believer solely from his own malevolent intent. These temptations, devoid of worldly influence, originate purely from his malicious design and will ultimately recoil upon him. The Bible is clear, my friend, that the fiery darts of the evil one shall, with all their venom and poison, one day be turned into his own heart forever in the lake of fire, prepared for him and his devils. At other times, Satan employs the world as his ally, presenting all its splendor to entice you. The array of worldly enticements and tools at his disposal is vast, serving as potent instruments of seduction. This method of his is seen in his temptation of Christ when Jesus was led away by the Spirit into the wilderness. Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, offering to give them to him if he would bow down and worship him. Additionally, Satan leverages your own vulnerabilities because you do harbor within yourself potential weaknesses due to the fall of Adam and your own first fall into sin. Satan exploits your inner struggles and desires, fueling betrayal and deceit. Mark this down, my friend. He is not omniscient. That means he does not know all things, but he has had your lifetime to study you, and he knows what makes you tick from the incessant, perpetual psychological examination you have been under since you were born. It was recently reported that China now has the technology to detect the exact identity of an individual, not only through facial recognition, voice analysis, fingerprinting, blood analysis, but also the gait of a person's stride. A person can be observed jaywalking and identified by the movement of the body without facial identification, and then issued an automatic ticket based on the body movement. It boggles the mind how much greater Satan knows you by your external lifetime profile he is building on you. He manipulates both external circumstances and your internal inclinations to further his nefarious ends. So temptation encompasses anything that sways you from your duty to God, whether by introducing evil into your hearts or diverting you from communion with him. It lurks not only in overt sins, but also in seemingly benign aspects of life, your pursuits, relationships, even your own abilities. The old saying, familiarity breeds contempt, fits well here. In the context of sin, the more familiar you become with certain temptations or sinful behaviors, the easier it is for you to minimize their seriousness or disregard the harm they can cause. Over time, repeated exposure to certain sins can desensitize you to their negative effects, leading you to view them as less significant or less damaging than they truly are. For example, if you frequently engage in gossip or dishonesty, you may gradually become desensitized to the moral implications of your actions. What initially felt wrong or uncomfortable may eventually seem routine or insignificant. As a result, you may be more likely to succumb to these temptations without fully realizing the consequences. Familiarity with certain sinful patterns or environments can lead to complacency or apathy towards resisting temptation. If you are regularly exposed to environments where sinful behaviors are normalized or accepted, you may start to internalize these attitudes and beliefs, making it easier for you to justify your own participation in such behaviors. You may go to a nightclub or a bar because you're single, lonely, looking for friendship and meaningful conversation. You may even order just a soda, no alcohol or drugs involved. But in time, placing yourself in an environment that can lead to complacency or apathy towards resisting temptation will in time set yourself up for a fall, a failure. The internalization of the worst aspects of this environment is inevitable. Ultimately, becoming too comfortable or complacent in the face of temptation is a recipe for disaster. You must remain vigilant and mindful of the dangers posed by sin, even if they become familiar or commonplace in your life. By recognizing the potential for contempt to arise from familiarity with temptation, you can guard against its influence and strive to uphold moral integrity in your thoughts, words, and actions. Jesus said to watch and pray. Prayer serves as a powerful tool in combating temptation in several ways. By strengthening spiritual resolve, prayer fosters a deep connection with God, reinforcing your commitment to living according to His standards. By seeking God's presence and guidance through prayer, you gain strength to resist temptation and remain steadfast in your faith. Prayer serves as a powerful tool in combating temptation by seeking divine assistance. In prayer, you can ask God for strength, wisdom, and discernment to overcome temptation. By surrendering your struggles to God and relying on His grace, you find empowerment to resist temptation and make righteous choices. By fostering accountability through prayer, you can openly confess your struggles and weaknesses to God, acknowledging your need for His help. This act of vulnerability fosters accountability and encourages you to actively resist temptation, knowing that God is ever present and supportive. Prayer can combat temptation by providing spiritual clarity. Prayer offers a space for reflection, meditation, and spiritual discernment. By spending time in prayer, talking to God, you can gain clarity on your values, priorities, and convictions, enabling you to discern between right and wrong and making wise decisions in the face of temptation. Consistent prayer fosters spiritual discipline and resilience, equipping you to withstand temptation and overcome sinful inclinations. Through regular communication with God, you develop habits of righteousness and grow in your capacity to resist temptation effectively. So, my friend, we are called to vigilance, to watch and pray, to avoid being trapped by the subtle allure of temptation. Let's heed our Savior's warning, for our vigilance and prayer is our shield against temptation's traps. And with that, my friend, I bid you peace.